Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To find out more about our upcoming shows or access to our more than 1,600 podcast episodes, visit our website at www.biteradio.me. Today, my special returning guest is Harrison Byers Newberry, author of Revelations, Greatest Secrets in Human History. In Revelation, Harrison provides answers to questions we never knew to ask. He reveals the great secret that we have kept from ourselves. Hearing the truth for the first time will shock most everyone. It will sound false because humanity has been lied to for the past 12,500 years. We have been almost completely controlled as these secrets have been tightly held by the 1%. By acquiring this knowledge, we can escape this fear-based reality. Only then can we ascend to higher frequencies and consciousness. Harrison Byers Newberry has been a truth seeker of answers for decades. His questions are the ones we all ask at some point in life. He reveals the results to his readers of his book. For more than 40 years, he has traveled many paths, seeking enlightenment, answers, and understanding. He walked the journey of a shaman for years, which took him high in the Andes Mountains of Peru and deep into the Amazon jungles. For more information, you can visit Harrison's Instagram account at Harrison Byers. That's Harrison, V-I-E-R-S. So with that, I'd like to welcome Harrison to the show. Good day, Harrison.
Good day to you, Robert. It's a pleasure to be back. I'm honored.
Thank you. And it is a pleasure to have you back. I thoroughly enjoyed our previous conversation, and I think this one is going to be just as enlightening as the first. So let's start with, first of all, the information you provide in Revelations came to you and it seemed that it maybe was fantastical to you, or that you maybe didn't quite understand what to do with it. So tell us, first of all, how the information started to come to you that's contained in Revelation, and, you know, what was your response at the time of it beginning?
Well, when I encountered this knowledge that you'll find in the book, I felt like I was well informed. I'd written other books. I'd written Imminent Shift. It's full of information on our cosmic visitors, UFOs, UAPs. But when I encountered this knowledge, it took me back. I don't want to say I was in shock, but it threw me into what I would call an internal battle between my head or my intellect and my heart and soul. And the information is not from a strictly human source. It comes to us from people or beings from the Pleiades star system, specifically from two planets around the star Taygeta. And they have been coming to Earth for thousands of years, but they came in great force in 2008, and they had the solutions to our problems, but they told us that most people would reject this information, but that it would resonate with a few key people. Now, I never considered myself key in anything. But I couldn't deny in the end that it resonated loudly in my heart and soul. And if I've learned anything in my life, it's to never, ever ignore what comes out of my heart. Because every time I have, I've regretted it. And, it, you know, this didn't just happen and then it was done and over. I mean, it took me a good year to process this information and try to disprove it, find some point that they made that I could say, no, you see, they're wrong there. I know they're wrong. But I couldn't find anything that I could disprove. Now, there's a lot I can't prove, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I could disprove. But it threw me into a battle, as it will most of us, because we have indeed been programmed from birth and for generations, for thousands of years for that matter, our ancestors, with false ideas and beliefs. And they explain how this was done and by whom. So many people, yeah, I understand, are just not ready for it. And this is why I've been reluctant to speak publicly about the content. In fact, if you read the book in the early pages, I stated that if you, the reader, are still on the fence about whether we are alone in the universe or whether the UFOs, UAPs are real, then close the book. Throw it away. The truth that they say will set you free, Robert. Often very hard to hear, and it was hard for me to hear, but in the end I had no choice but to accept it for myself.
Yes. Now, you're right in that probably much of the information will be viewed by readers as, you know, kind of out there, far-fetched in a way. But like you say, the battle that you had between the intellect and the heart kind of wins out. That seems to be the way that individuals who read the book will be able to discern the truth of it, whether or not it resonates with them at heart level.
That's it. And I even state that in the book. If you use your intellect, you know, our brains are like a hard drive on a computer. They've been programmed. But science has never been able to prove that the brain is the mind. You know, we think with a lot more than our brain and our head.
Mm-hmm.
Our heart has sensory neurons that have been proven to be 100 times more powerful than the sensory neurons of our brain. But we often listen to the head and ignore the heart.
Yes. So now when it comes to the collection of information in each of the sections in the book, how did you gather and process? I mean, was it strictly from printed material, or did you have insights come to you from those in the entities? What is the source, I guess,
The information came to me through an Earth human named Gosha, who had written communication with the Tibetans, who are in orbit around Earth right now. The one in particular's name is Swaru, but there were many others. And it took place over a period of about 3 years that this information was compiled and put in a documentary, which I accidentally bumped into, called Galactic Message.
Okay. So now, with the Tagetans, you know, you indicated that they're basically here, in a way. So.
Yeah.
Why is it that we have not seen them or seen evidence or, you know, a way to show that they're here?
Well, they're in a higher vibration, a higher frequency, I should say. But we have seen them. And, you know, because they come inside of Earth's atmosphere and many of them have landed. And we have seen them. And some of our people have met with them, but this is all kept very, very clandestine and secret. But outside of Earth's atmosphere, they're in the fifth harmonic density, and we're now at the border of the fourth, but we've been in the third, And we can't see anything, even here on Earth, that's at a higher frequency. And I think we talked about that once before. It's like a ceiling fan. If you walk into a room and you see a ceiling fan, yeah, maybe it has four blades and you can clearly see them. But if you turn it on, the higher you turn it, those blades become blurred and you can't see whether there's one, three, six, or whatever. And if you were to continue to turn the frequency up, you wouldn't be able to see them at all. Frequency. We can't see outside, and everything in the universe outside of our Van Allen radiation belts is in the 5D.
Okay. Well, the first chapter in your book, you talk about living in a fear-based reality. And if one just looks around or even turns on the television for a short period of time, we see constant examples of individuals or corporations trying to stir up fear. So can you talk a little bit about the idea of us being in a fear-based reality, and what purpose does it serve?
Well, here we're going to get into some areas that some people may not be ready to hear, but the Draco reptilians feed on dense, dark energy of fear. And they began 12,500 years ago by installing false ideas and then belief systems. And you just said it, media. The mass media has been one of the worst things probably that could have happened to us. I mean, although there's been good things from it, it's been used to instill fear in us. And you know, we're being programmed every time we turn on the TV,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go out and buy things because we're afraid that, you know, if we don't, you know, we're not going to be accepted. We're not going to be happy. It keeps us in a perpetual state of fear. And this fear is a dark, dense energy that holds us at a low frequency. See, everything in the universe is energy. It's consciousness. And the there's a gradient of frequencies. It's all about frequencies. And we've been held in the 3D, and we're trying to get to the 5D, although there's not a wall separating them. It's a smooth gradient. And once we reach the 5D, they tell us that we will automatically know things that we've never known before. We will see the truth for the first time that we cannot see right now. And it's just humanly impossible unless you can raise your frequency. And the way you do that is by maintaining a love vibration. If you've ever been in love, like puppy love, teenage love, you remember that feeling?
Yes, I do.
It's such a light, wonderful feeling, you know? Well, in the 5D, that's the way you feel.
Yeah.
You know? And the fear, and fear manifests in many, many different ways. Anger, rage, frustration, hatred, resentment, violence, war, jealousy, envy, all of these are fear-based emotions, whereas love is a light energy, a high frequency of energy. It's happiness, joy, compassion, empathy, gratitude. You just feel lighter, lighter, and lighter. Stay out of that fear because we've got it all around us. We're being bombarded with it constantly. And we have to awaken, and as the Tibetans said, learn to say a little two-letter word, N-O. I'm not sure.
So will individuals move into that fifth density or dimension, or will it be more of a mass movement?
Well, in time, everyone will. But what they tell us is that we don't need the masses. We need a core of key people to evolve into this higher frequency, and the rest will follow.
So now, one of the, you know, you mentioned all of the dark, heavy energies of anger, hatred, violence, and that kind of thing. So we see that every day, and it seems to be some actions that we're seeing really, I think, agitate some people into recognizing that that's not right. You know, that, you know, we need that love perspective. So do you feel that some of the increased darkness, I guess, for lack of a better word, the purpose of that is to basically shake people awake?
I'm not sure if I understand your question. The increased darkness is to wake us up? Well,
it seems that, you know, like it's one of the things that I've noticed is that sometimes
No pain, no gain kind of thing. Motivated by pain, and we heard enough, and we finally come, we've got to do something about this, you know, we've got to make the pain go away.
And that's exactly kind of what I was thinking, is that, you know, when I look at all of the current state of the globe and the conflict and the pain, you know, that is being created seems to wake up and make some people motivated to do something rather than sitting on the sidelines.
Yes. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, that pain, whether it's physical or emotional, psychic pain, will definitely motivate people, but they've got to know what the options are and why. And they, you know, it's important. And what I'm trying to do is help people to awaken to the truth that we need to choose a love vibration. And this has to begin by monitoring oneself from within on a daily basis. We have to avoid the fears, like the bubonic plague, and choose love. Now, we're always going to have a mixture, but we are out of balance. We need to have more balance with love instead of choosing fear all the time. I mean, we sit around and worry constantly. And, you know, it never solves anything, you know. In fact, it makes matters worse. We have to find a way within ourselves, each of us, the lowest, smallest little guy out there can make this change that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they told us. They have all the solutions to our problems. They do. But the fact is they are not allowed to interfere by universal law, which many of us have heard as the prime directive. But what they are doing is communicating with us, just like in this, with this information that I have received. They are giving us the truth and the solutions. And this has been happening around the globe with many people. Gosha is not the only one. I mean, I've heard the Swaru being discussed in several videos that I've watched with people who are open-minded and knowledgeable on this topic. They're here to give us advice and direction and to help us in our ascension. But we have to do it ourselves. We are the cause of all of this. We're generating ourselves the fear, the energy that we see around us in our reality. It's all from us. It's not from politicians. It's not from big industry. It comes from within each and every one of us. But we also have the power to change all of this. And we've been led to believe, programmed to think that we are limited in every way, that we have no power. Oh, what can I do about it? You know, it doesn't, I'm not going to think about that because there's nothing I can do about it. I've said it myself. Who has it? But the truth is, we can do something about it by choosing to vibrate from a love frequency and rise in frequency and in consciousness. And then we could solve all of Earth's problems. That's their message. That's basically the message of Revelations.
Yeah. So
people are waking up, you know.
Yeah.
This documentary that was released just before Thanksgiving called Age of Disclosure. It was a bipartisan documentary. There was countless people interviewed from both sides of the political aisle, senators, congressmen, even Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, and leading scientists that are considered the most brilliant in the world. Hal Puthoff, a quantum physicist, Dr. Eric Davis, an astrophysicist, both of which have worked on reverse engineering alien craft. Many, many from our intelligence agency, CIA, DIA, NSA, military ones, OSI, pilots. I mean, the list goes on and on. But what they are telling the public for the first time is, one, we are not alone in the universe. The universe is teeming with life of multiple races, and that we have in our possession many alien spacecraft and many non-human alien bodies. And we've been reverse engineering this technology since at least 1947. But there's a group behind this secrecy that they can't really tell you who is really pulling the strings. But they've made our government and the world's governments, almost everyone, puppets of this group called the Legacy Program, is what they call it. Originally started off as the Majestic 12 back in the Truman administration after the Roswell crash in 1947. And they confirmed the Roswell crash was real, too. It happened, which I already knew. But all this technology, look at our advancements. In the last 75 years, we've advanced more than we have in our history.
Yeah.
This didn't just happen by accident. You know, the industry has come out and claimed, oh, it's proprietary information and knowledge. And we did this on our own, but they back engineered this technology. And much of what we have today is a result of that. But we haven't grown in morality and values and character equal to what we have in technology. And we're all seeing the result of this. It's not good. But the important thing is that this documentary, available on Prime Video, and I'm not a salesman for it. I may sound like I am, but if you read my book, Imminent Shift, you'll learn a lot more in terms of details than what they talk about. And they say they can't tell you more because it's classified. And I understand that. And they also talk about the very thing you and I started this conversation with, about how people just aren't ready, you know. And that's been the fear. Despite the lies and secrecy, they were afraid of what it would do to us as the human race if they let the cat out of the bag. But the cat is out of the bag now.
Yeah.
And people are indeed waking up in droves all over the world.
Yeah.
But they may not be ready for Revelations.
Well, you know, it does seem like the recent disclosures or releases of information seem to prepare people for the truth, I guess, you know, in a way of easing people into that shift.
Yeah, I can talk about it till the end of days, but if they hear it, if it's on TV, it's so, and that's sad. That's a two-edged sword.
Yeah, it certainly is. So now, there was one of the secrets in your book that we can talk about, I'd like to talk about it, and that was the Giza Pyramid.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I think this would be, talking about this topic of what you had in your book and also recent discoveries will give people an idea of what is contained in Revelation.
Yes. Well, in the first place, they tell us the importance of Earth. Earth is the most important planet in the galaxy. Why? Because it's home and headquarters to the negative ones, meaning the reptilians. But in another timeline, it was also the headquarters of the Federation of Planets, and their headquarters were what's now underneath the Giza Plateau. There are literally city-sized developments under the Giza Plateau. And recent discoveries have shown and proved that there's a lot of stuff down there. It's coming out. And this has been known by many of the Egyptologists, but they are part of the cabal. And they've kept this quiet for years and years and years. But the pyramids, first thing they told us and confirmed, we knew researchers like Chris Dunn had found many, many intriguing facts about the pyramids. He called them, I think, frequency machines. And at one time, I had this flash of inspiration that they were designed to control and raise our 3D frequency to the fifth density of reality. And they were used. They confirmed that was part of the reason. But the pyramids are all over the world. We talk pyramids, we're thinking of Giza and Egypt, but there's hundreds of them all over the world. And what they were used for was for energy generation. They generated free energy, 0 point energy. And the way they did this was the atmosphere is loaded with positrons, and they come down and they're seeking Earth, which presents a charge differential as the negative particles come up. And this, we see this as lightning. That's the best way to really explain it. But the pyramids did not look like they do now. They were capped with solid crystal, which was covered with gold leaf, and the particles were pulled down into the inner chambers of the pyramids, and the pyramids themselves were white, covered with white limestone that served as an insulation to keep the particles from escaping and going back out into the atmosphere. And underneath, there was a mantle of water. In Giza, it was the Nile River was flowing underneath. And all these pyramids were built on ley lines, which potentiated the flow of electrical current worldwide. We had free wireless energy. Nikola Tesla, this is pure Tesla. He figured this out over 100 years ago. But he was rejected because you can't send out a bill to people for free energy.
Really?
They all want that. So they stripped all the white limestone and the caps from the pyramids so they no longer work. But the same technology, and our scientists, people in our secret space program have confirmed, well, there's pyramids on Mars. They found a pyramid on the moon. They're throughout this galaxy and for the purpose of free energy. Everybody had free electricity. And we didn't even have electric lights for how many years?
Right.
This was before 12,500 years ago.
Yeah. So, and I've, you know, watched the programs about the pyramids and, you know, doing kind of radar examinations and, you know, finding, you know, hidden rooms.
Far has been used, yeah. And they found structures underneath.
Yeah. And they indicate that they haven't done anything about it. Now, to me, that doesn't make sense. You know,
yeah.
The idea that you find this ancient secret, really, and that you don't pursue it, to me, is just crazy. So to me, it seems that it's just putting the kibosh on any kind of discovery that it may lead to.
You're absolutely right, Robert. And the, like I said earlier, the they call them Egyptologists or whatever.
Yeah.
They have known about this, but they've done everything. It's just like the legacy program. There's nothing, no bottom that they would not sink to, no level that they would not sink to prevent the truth from seeping out. And they didn't want people to know about this. Now, a lot of the Swaru says that the technology is all there still, but most of it has been ruined because of the Great Flood. And the Great Flood came about because of a planet in our solar system that was destroyed, just like in Star Wars. Only it wasn't in a galaxy far, far away.
Uh-huh.
It was right here in our solar system. If you look between Mars and Saturn right now, you'll mm-hmm. see a huge asteroid belt. There was a water planet there, a large planet, larger than Earth, called Tiamat. And the reptilians, who were also headquartered here on Earth, had gone there and set up a dummy base and started sending out dummy signals, knowing that the Federation would come to, you know, try to find out what was going on, and they did, and they ambushed them. And this horrific war ensued, and both sides were just about destroyed. And yet, when they, as a last desperate measure, the Federation blew up the planet, and they nuked Mars. The remaining reptilians went back to Earth, and they trapped them here. And this is when it all started. But the result was our solar system was a mess. They couldn't fly through it because there was debris everywhere. But all that water had to go somewhere, and a lot of it ended up on Earth. And they say that's the source of our Great Flood.
Mm.
Yeah. And it destroyed a lot of the technology that was underneath. But some of it, she says, still works. It's still functional.
So now what?
But that dumbs, she calls them dumbs, a deep underground military bases. They had under the Sphinx, there was one on top of the other. And the tomb of Osiris is there, and a library containing tremendous knowledge is also down there. And you can bet, like you were saying, that they've been down there and they've examined a lot of this, but boy, they've kept it from the public and done everything in their power to do it, including murdering people.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to keeping secrets, it seems that some people will go to any length to be able to maintain that. And it seems to me that to them, it's like a source of power, you know, of being able to control who knows what when.
Oh, it is. Knowledge it's been said, but this is literally true. Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And, you know, even in the Age of Disclosure documentary, they talk about how these different agencies since 1947 each have gathered a lot of knowledge, but they hoard it, even from each other, because they use it like as a currency almost, you know, because the knowledge is power, and they want to maintain the power. And the power is an illusion.
Yeah.
They're fighting a losing battle. We don't live very long on this earth, which the reptilians are also responsible for. We have very short lives. You know, the average life of an American today is 78.4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient texts, they're full of stories of people living hundreds of years, 800-900 years. What happened? We're supposed to have modern medicine, you know? 80 to 90 years is about it, you know, a few longer, but, you know. And
yeah.
It was orchestrated, and it's been proven, which I also write about in the book. You know,
yeah.
A study was done, but it was kept secret, clandestine.
Yeah. So now, for the listener and soon-to-be reader of his book, how would they facilitate their transition, I guess, to the fifth density? Apparently, it's a lot of heart-based action and reasoning.
Well, you know, I used to talk a lot more than I do now. I mean, people that know me all my life say, Harry, why have you become so quiet? And it didn't even realize. Yeah, you know, I love what Abraham Lincoln was fond of saying. He said, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt.
Yeah.
Which I love that, but it's because I spend more time looking within myself and monitoring myself. For people to really learn the methods and techniques, they need to read Rise of Human Perception, which we spoke about in our last interview, because it contains specific techniques on first how to marry and bond the heart brain with the head brain and start living more from the heart, because we've been a people of the head, where all the negative programming is and our opinions. People like that, if people read this book and say, oh, that's crazy. But what are they basing it on? They're basing it upon what's in their head, not in their heart. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, very much.
And we have to get to our heart brain, which is much more powerful anyway. By doing this, we increase our memory exponentially. We gain deep intuition on demand. I've seen a remarkable shift in myself, in thinking power, memory, and the power to heal our own bodies, which we all have that power. We have to awaken and realize that we are far, far more than what we have believed ourselves to be and what we've been taught. We have to get out of this because, again, we have the power to free ourselves from these negative influences and to fix all the world's problems. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're living in the slums, the ghetto, or whether you're living in a mansion.
Yeah, and you know, it seems that it's going to take each individual to align themselves first and maybe kind of radiate that as an example for others to follow.
Absolutely, and that's, yeah, goes back to what I said earlier. All of us don't have to awaken. You know, I'm just one man.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know how many years I have to live. Probably not that many. I'm no spring chicken, as they say. But the thing is, Robert, my goal is simple. It's to help people to awaken. I want people to start choosing love and avoiding fear. That's maybe an oversimplification, but it's the truth. And we all have that choice. Oh, we're still going to have moments of fear and anger, but you can get rid of it. It's like I've known people, and this is something that was a gift, I guess, from God to me, was that I never was one to hang on to resentments and anger since I was a kid. Oh, I had a hot temper, but I get over it quick, you know. But I know people who have held on to resentments over some trivial thing for decades. And to what end, you know? It serves no one. It doesn't hurt the other person. It only hurts the individual that's holding the resentment.
Yeah.
And it blocks them from being all they are. It keeps them locked in the head and prevents them from living in the heart.
Yeah.
We can walk away from this. And that's really the whole point. You know, people that encounter my book, I tell them this. Read it, and it's like with many things in life. Take what you can use. And for now, leave the rest behind. If you're not ready to hear it, at least the seed is planted in you, and you're not going to be unfamiliar with it, because in time, you're going to find out that everything I've written is true.
Yeah. You know, it seems that once someone has a little seed of information, that whenever something pops up that supports that, it seems to be highlighted. You know, where in the past, prior to the knowledge, that, you know, it may have just kind of just passed in one ear and out the other, and absolutely no processing in between. However, if you do have that little bit of seed of knowledge, that when it happens, you kind of perk up and pay attention more.
Yeah. You have to start somewhere, and we all are where we are, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting in darkness and in ignorance right now, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not attacking or pointing fingers at a living soul. But you don't have to remain that way.
Right.
You don't have to remain that way. It starts with just awakening to the fact that we're not alone in the universe. We are a part of a huge community. And by the way, many of these people, they talked about in the Age of Disclosure, non-human alien bodies. And I know that many of them are, and there's reasons for that I won't go into right now. But the Tibetans look just like we do.
Hmm.
If they're walking down the street, you couldn't tell the difference, but they are different. For example, a lot of it has to do with the neurological system. They don't have a sagittal suture in their skull. They don't have a left and right brain hemisphere, a masculine and feminine separated. They're all one.
Hmm.
Because of their neurological system, they can, like a cat, they can see in the dark.
Hmm.
And they hardly get tired. But then again, their gravity is less on their planet, and their oxygen content of their atmosphere is at 80% and 18% nitrogen and 2% other gases. On Earth, our oxygen content is 20%.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then nitrogen and 2% gases, just the opposite.
Yeah. Well, Well, Harrison, we are at the end of our interview today. So what do you hope that readers will take away from reading Revelations, Greatest Secrets in Human History?
I hope that people will learn a lot of things that will interest them. There's a lot of information in there, the secrets about the pyramids and so forth, and a lot of information that shows that our Star Wars movies that we all so dearly loved are literally more like documentaries of our history than fictional accounts. And it explains all of that. But the main thing is that people will begin to awaken to the why we've been controlled and learn of the ways that we can escape all of this, because we can. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know you have those abilities, it's hard to focus on it. I'm hoping that people will at least become aware that they are much, much more than what they've ever believed possible. Yeah. And begin to truly awaken to this and step away from the fear and the programming that they're receiving on a daily basis, all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good to be able to direct your attention away from that programming, that negative programming. Whenever I see it pop up, I immediately change my sensory input so that, you know, that's not a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're on the right path. Believe me, it's not easy for any of us to overcome this.
No.
But we start somewhere.
Exactly.
We must start.
Absolutely. Well, Harrison, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today. I knew I would from our last one. So I really want to thank you for your time and sharing with us.
It's been my pleasure and my honor.
Yeah, thank you. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Harrison Byers Newberry, author of Revelations, Greatest Secrets in Human History. And again, you can find out more by visiting Harrison's Instagram account at Harrison Byers, and that's V-I-E-R-S. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.